Blog Talk Radio.
All that I am here.
all that you brought me through. And everything I survive is all because of you. I'm grateful for
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How many is grateful, truly grateful that God paid it all? God, through my tears, through my good times, my bad times, my ups, my downs, my smiling face, my sad face, Lord, I thank you for the sunshine, for the rain, for the storm, for the earthquakes, for everything that you do in my life, because you know what's best for my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. This is your Fix It Six, and I'm your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is such a beautiful day, and it's such a beautiful time to be serving God. Amen. Amen. Listen, this is truly, truly a time where God is doing a lot of shaking. There's no coincidences that you can't sleep at night. There's no coincidences that you keep hearing God speak. There's no coincidence that something or someone is nudging on you. That is the Holy Spirit trying to get our attention and let us know that I'm lining up my soldiers because it is time to fight. It is truly time to fight. There is a warfare going on. Amen. There's a real battle being waged. And it starts from the time that we're babies to the time that we're in our cradles to the time that we're teenagers. There's a real battle, and it starts with the control of our mind. Amen. Because everybody who walks for Christ, every hour, the devil is bombarding us, our eyes, our ear gates, trying to enter and corrupt the thoughts resulting in evil deeds. Because he has mental hospitals, he has mental wards, prisons filled with souls and people who just thought they couldn't make it or just gave up and just thought that there was no way that they can make it. We must realize we are in a war and keep our defense strong, and we must continue to obey the commands of our captain. We got to obey the commands of our captain. The Bible says that ye that love the Lord hate evil. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Be not overcome of evil, for that which is evil, and cleave to which that is good. That's the Bible. Hallelujah. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, which means our thought is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That's the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3. God is talking to us. He's preparing us, because the Lord knoweth the thoughts of every man. Don't think we're hiding nothing. Don't think you're getting away with nothing. Don't think God doesn't know. Listen, we always say that, you know, God knows my tears. He knows my pain. He knows your secrets. He knows your lies. He knows your deceptions. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He knows your next thought. He knows our next move. He knows when the next hair is going to pop out of your nose. He knows when you're going to buy your next wig. He knows your next everything. He knows. We belong to Christ Jesus, and we got to get to a place of understanding how he communicates with us. Because if you ever watched a war movie, because I've never been in a service, but they have this thing called Morse code. There's a code that they do so the enemy can't hear them. There's a code that the rescuers use. I was watching something and they were trapped, and the guy was hitting on the pipes. Just so happened there was another guy who understood Morse code, and because he understood Morse code, there was someone that could communicate with them, and that's how God is now. He has a secret Morse code now. The enemy doesn't know this one, but some of us will get this in a secret service envelope
Oh, it's going to say top secret. It's going to be in the midnight hour. It's going to be when you want to do something else. Oh, it's going to be in the middle of your baptism. It's going to be in the middle of the time when you want to watch your favorite show. It's going to be in the middle of the time when you want to watch football. It's going to be in the middle of the time when you want to go on vacation. He's going to wait and wait and wait until he catch you in such an uproar. And he's going to settle us down because I have to give you these codes. And these codes are going to help us go out into the world and help bring others into the kingdom of God. We got to get to a point that we have an understanding that we do not know our next move. We do not know our next thought. Yeah, we say, oh, I can deal with that. I done been through that trial. I done been through that tribulation. I done been through that devil. I am saved. I am filled with the Holy Ghost. I am all powerful. And my Father is all knowing. He's not going to let me have this. And he's not going to let this happen. But what would you do under pressure? We do not know what we would do under pressure. I don't care how saved we are. I don't care how many Bible scholarships you got. I don't care how many colleges you went through. How many care? Listen, we don't know our next move. We don't know how much pressure we can take. And Father has to get us to a point when the pot starts boiling, when it starts bubbling, and it's just getting too hot, and it's getting too hot. Do we surrender or do we stand and fight and get knocked down and get back up and fight and get knocked back down and get back up? Do we fight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said all that to say that God is with us, and whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest and whatsoever things are just and whatsoever things are pure and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, let's think on these things. Amen. Father God, we thank you for the communication. We thank you for the bond. We thank you for the new beginning. We thank you for the new code. We thank you for the new defense. We thank you for the new attack. We thank you for the new power, the new understanding, the new wisdom, the new revelation. We thank you for the newness that you're about to pour upon us, God. We thank you for the shaking of this world. We thank you for the moving and the shaking of the things that you're doing. Have your way, Holy Spirit, because it's your way that's going to make us a better person, God. We thank you. We adore you. We need you. We need your shaking. We need you to remind us that you're still in charge. We need you to continue to do the things you do to get our attention. We need to salute you. We need to stand up strong and salute you on a daily basis. We need to continue to praise you and worship you. Even in the midst of everything that's going on in the world, we are still your soldiers because we are not of the world. We are just in it. So we have to keep our minds focused on the things of you. And God, keep our minds clear and keep our ear gates open. Allow our holy hands to heal and give you glory and give you honor with our lifestyles and our new way of walking, our new way of speaking, our new way of living, because we stand for the glory of the Most High God, King Jesus, and we love you, and we've said these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had a song that I wanted to play, but I think the producer was a little busy today and didn't get a chance to bring it forth for me. But the word will still go forth and God will still speak and the power of God's anointing will still go forth. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to read one more scripture. Amen. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, 4, 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience, to the obedience, to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Glory to God. I do have a scripture for us this evening. I do have a text, and I promise you I won't take too much of your time this evening. There's just so much going on in the world, and I'm saying this because I know and I hear the people, you know, wow, look at this. There's earthquakes here. There's fires here. The pandemic, it seems like it's coming back. The children are dying from the new pandemic. People are losing their homes, and people are losing their minds, and people are surrendering, and people are just throwing in the towel. But we have to understand pressure. It's pressure. God is trying to get our attention. And I sat back and I thought about how long I acted a fool and how long I did all kinds of crazy things and how long I just did what I wanted to do and just disregarded the will of God and disregarded what he had told me to do and just disregarded everything and everybody that was connected to me. I just did what I wanted to do. And I said to myself, how long is he going to put up with this? How long is he going to put up with this? I brung you out of a dark, scary place. I brung your mentality back when you was in a mental state of not knowing who you was and not understanding who you are. I brung you back into a mental state. I brung you back from your health when you was dying and didn't know who you was. I brung you back. And you turn your back on me and do what you want to do and just think you're just going to walk off and just do what you want to do and then come back to the kingdom and go back out the kingdom and go back in the kingdom and come back out of the kingdom. Oh, no, it doesn't go that way, son. And right now, letting you know that this day, you better choose who you will stand for, because I am not playing with you. You are not a child anymore. You know who I am, and you know what I've done for you, and you know what I'm capable of doing. You said you wanted to serve me. You said if I do this, you would do that. You said, and because I said it, he's holding me accountable for it. And God holds us accountable. We are accountable for things we know. The Bible says we know people perish for lack of knowledge. We have knowledge of Christ because we have his word. Now, if you're not in his word, you won't get it. I'm going to read a few verses. I'm going to play the song. And I need you to not listen to the messenger, but listen to the message. Don't get caught up in the artist and don't get things of this song, but listen. Because I'm saying, matter of fact, I want us to understand something. We don't know what we will do under pressure until we're tested. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's tests that we pass, but don't you know when you pass that test, the enemy was sitting back upgrading for the next test? And if you pass that test, he's upgrading for the next test. Yeah, you might have not liked it, the dark-skinned one with the big muscles. Oh, so now I'm going to give you one that's light-skinned with good hair and pretty eyes. And if you don't like that one, I'm going to give you a rich one. You know, he's going to continue to can you. And I'm saying these things is let's not get so lackadaisical that we think, oh, I'm going to pass this. I ain't worried about that. They can throw at me anything they want. No. No. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to play this song, and we're going to go into a scripture.
Across 110th Street, It's either live or die. You got to be strong if you want to survive. The family on the upper side of town will catch hell without a ghetto around. In every city you'll find the same thing going down. Harlem is the capital of every ghetto town. Let me sing it.
Across 110th Street, pimps trying to catch a woman last week. Across 110th Street, wishes for that junkie go free. Oh, across 110th Street, a woman trying to catch a chick on the street. Ooh, baby, across 110th Street, you can find.
I want to thank my producer who must have been on the airwaves and made their way here to the studio and found that song for me. I thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so very much. Across 110th Street, that's a street in Harlem. I used that song for illustration because I wanted us to be reminded that we all have 110th Street. We all have one, and we all have to cross it sometime. But when you cross it, are you prepared for what the temptation brings? The pushers won't allow the junkies to go free. They just holding them in bondage, just keep giving and giving and giving them, having them do all the things that they have to do to continue to come get they fix. And that's how the enemy has some of us. The enemy is some of our pushes. Oh, he give you all the wicked thoughts, all the angry thoughts, just keep you angry, just keep you upset, just keep you mad at the world, just try to keep you mad at God, just don't want you to live, don't want you to do nothing. Nothing. He is your pusher. The song said, you'll never know what you'll do when you're under pressure. But across 110th Street is a heck of a tester. We have to be tested. That's why God tests us. And I'm saying all this thing because go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 34. Because this young man who loved the Lord and would never, 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 never do anything to harm Jesus, so he thought. And I often wonder how I would feel if I was in his shoes after this. Hallelujah, please. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. I'm going to start at verse 31 so we can get a better understanding. Then saith Jesus unto them all, ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. And we all know the story. We all know how it went down. Aren't you one of them? Aren't you one of those disciples? No, I'm not. Aren't you with Jesus? No, I was not. It's amazing. I think about how Jesus and Peter, how they got together. When Jesus told him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." The relationship, his relationship with Jesus. You know, when I think about it, it was like they was homies. They was best friends. You walk with the Messiah. You saw him do miracles. You saw him heal. You saw him lay hands on people. You saw him raise the dead. You know who he is. And you said you wouldn't deny him ever. Ever. Listen. I want to say what he said. Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, I feel this, y'all, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." He said, "I will not do it." He will say, "I will not do it." And I could just imagine how he felt. See, Jesus know, and I was speaking about how Jesus knows. Peter is the most well-known apostle that was talked about or described by Jesus as a fisher of men. He was a fisherman by trade and was with Jesus from the beginning of his teachings. Peter was the first to believe in the divinity of Jesus. That's how thick they were. That's how thick they was. Oh God, that's a feeling. That's like me and my wife together from the beginning, ups and downs. We in this to the end. And somebody come along and say, "Listen, I'm gonna kill you because you was with her." And I say, "No, I wasn't. I don't even know her." Can you imagine how she feels? Can you imagine how you would feel if your best friend, your significant other, would deny you? And but see, Jesus already knew. That's the thing. Jesus knew. So it wasn't a surprise to him. That's why it didn't shock him. That's why it didn't hurt him. He told him what he was going to do. And that's how he is with some of us. He, listen, "Oh, Lord, if you just give me this, if I give it to you, I never hear from you no more. If I give it to you, you're going to act a fool and you're going to crash it up. If I give it to you, you're not going to do the thing that you." We got to stop thinking we can manipulate God with prayer. We got to stop thinking we can manipulate God with scripture. He know it before we even say it. Amen. I think Jesus chose Peter because he took that adversity and trials and mistakes like we have in our lives, like the mistakes we make and the trials we make and all the errors we make. Jesus loves that in us because he comes along, fixes us up, and makes us better. And that's to show the other person that's still full with trials and diversity and all those wicked things that we used to have, that there could be a change if we just allow that one that's with all power change us. We have to give him permission. We have to allow him to change us. A lot of us are almost 100 or 85, 90% better than we used to be. Our way of thinking, we're way better than we used to be. Our way of behaving. But let's not get it twisted. I don't care how many Bibles we got. I don't care how many scriptures we know. I don't care how powerful we are in Christ. We don't know what we're going to do under the right pressure. And listen, the way the world is going, there's a lot of people running because of the pressure. But we got to get to the point and understand, okay, that's what's going on in the world. The Lord I serve, it ain't going to touch me. We don't let the enemy put our minds under that kind of pressure. I believe that Jesus, when he encountered and continued to, when Peter encountered and continued to love on Jesus without hesitating, he didn't allow the things that defeated others. He didn't allow the why not to defeat him, but use that to change altogether from an arrogant man to a humble disciple. I went from a foolish man to a loving kind man. I went from a non-caring man to a loving man. I went from a selfish man to a sharing man. I went from a weak man to a strong man. And I'm not talking about physically strong. I'm talking about spiritual strong. When I was weak in my mind and in my flesh, in my body and in my spirit was almost on its deathbed. It was 15% left out of 100%. 85% was decay, and 15% had just enough of blood to keep pumping life into me. And because of the great one, the holy one, because he died on the cross, it made that 15% that I had left, ooh, almighty mutant blood, that strong blood, that 15% became more stronger than the 85% that I lost. See, when Jesus touches you, you get strong. You become a spiritual mutant. You just have these powers, but they're not only powers to boast on. I can pray down the walls of heaven. No, you can't. Stop telling that lie. We can do nothing without Christ. Hallelujah. In keeping with his impulsive nature, Peter has rejected Jesus' prediction that the disciples will fall away. He has declared that even if everyone else runs away and hides, he will never do so. And if we go to the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 30 to 33, where it says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Amen. And 31 said, he said unto Jesus, unto them, all ye shall, we just read that. Amen. And if you go up further to 33, where it said, because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Amen. That's not only diversified to the other disciples, it's also incredibly bold to make those statements. And I've learned that I cannot say what I won't do under pressure, because then the enemy waits. Oh, yeah? So you saying if the Lord gave you $50 million, you wouldn't pack up your stuff, get you a yacht, get you a boat, and travel around the world and forget everything and everybody and just party like it's 1999? Or are you going to take that $50 million and feed the world and build churches and build the kingdom of God and speak the gospel and teach the gospel? And you got to be honest with yourself. I had to be honest with me. At a point where I'm at right now, I'm too scared to do anything foolish. And I'm man enough to say that I'm fearful to do anything foolish, because I know what God has brung me from, and I know what he's done to me, and I know what he said to me. So I'm not going to play temptation games. I'm not David Ruffin, and I'm not Paul Williams, and I'm not Eddie Kendrick. I'm not none of them. I don't do the temptation thing. I'm just going to try to stay on the good foot like James Brown. Amen. You might not understand me, but you know it's the good foot. Amen. Jesus knows, though, that Peter's courage cannot – listen. Jesus knows that Peter's courage cannot stand the test that is coming. He knows, no matter how much courage you got, no matter how much, oh my God, how much staying power you got, no much how you devoted to the Lord. Yes, you love him and you praise him and you worship him and you trust him and you'll do what But Jesus already knew that his courage could not stand the test that was coming. There are tests coming. Preparation. Learn the Morse code. Get your secret envelope and study it. It's right here. I already got mine. It's called NIV. It's called KJIV. Oh, listen. Get the thing called the Bible. The Morse code is in the... Listen, I'm going to whisper this. Everybody can't get this. The code is in the Bible. The secret ingredients is in the Bible. Our communication package is in the Bible. Hallelujah. It's right here. It's no secret that how you get it. If you wake up every morning and seek God, that's the start. If you're getting your word, you're falling your face. And listen, let's start the getting back in that submissive position. Oh, let's lay out on the floor. Let's get on our, yeah, I got arthritis in my knees and it hurt. But if I get down on my knees long enough and praise God, one day I'm going to get up and that arthritis is going to be gone. I ain't going to know I had it. We got to, listen, it is bowed down to the, listen, we got to get back to letting our Father know he is king in our life. He is our king. Not your Cadillac, not your mansion, not your six-room apartment, not your businesses, not all your money in the bank, none of that. Jesus is our king, y'all. He is our way maker. He is our rock. He is our provider. He is our lifeline. He is our teacher. He is our lawyer. He is our doctor. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. He knew Peter's courage, and he knew Peter had a lot of courage. He knew Peter wasn't scared, and he knew he wasn't going to back down. But he knew his courage just couldn't stand the test that was coming. And he tells Peter that the bold disciple will not just fall away to save himself. He will, in fact, deny Jesus three times during the night before the rooster crows to signal the start of a new day. Whoo! Oh, Lord, I know you said he don't even know what he's talking about. Okay. Go to chapter 26, verse 69, and we're going to read to chapter 75, verse 75. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, I feel good in here. Whew, I don't know if I'm having heat flashes, Holy Ghost flashes, or I just feel hot this evening. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Listen, I know everybody knows when the Holy Spirit is upon them. I know everybody who's connected to God, everybody who the Holy Spirit has fell upon, everybody, some people speak in tongues, and some people got these powers, and some people, whoo, they jerk, they flipper, whatever it may be. Oh, but when he's upon you, when he's in, oh, like, I think of it like he allowed me in a secret part of his room. I'm allowed in a secret part, that secret part of the kingdom that he allowed me. I can't stay too long because it gets extra hot in there. I just can stay in there long enough to get information, to get loved on, to get just to remind me who he is in my life. Remind me that I got you, son. To remind me, stop worrying, son. To remind me, stand strong, son. When that anointing gets to you, the anointing is on you for a reason. It's to tell you something, show you something, let you know that what you think you know, you don't know. Because that's extra power coming. Listen and know who that he is God. Hallelujah. Now, Peter sat without in the palace. And a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them, at where there this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he died with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Ain't that something? Just the way you talk, they knew you was different. The way he talked, they knew that he was with Jesus. They knew that he was up under Jesus. They knew that he had to be a part of the royalty, a part of the royal kingdom. Listen, if they know the way we speak, the way we walk, the way we talk, And again he denied it. But listen, and after a while came unto him they, not one, but they, all the people that stood around and stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. How do people recognize you? Do they recognize you as a foolish person? Or they recognize you as a humble, loving, caring person, a follower of the Most High God, Jesus Christ. Oh, come on with me. Hallelujah. Then began he to curse and to swear. Now, he just did that. See, now listen. They already told him, we know how you talk, how you get down. You was with Jesus. You are humble and nice and loving and caring. We know who you roll with. We know you roll with the Most High. So he was so scared, he done started cussing. He going to try to put on a facade like he's some from the hood. You ever see a person that's not from the hood try to cuss? How foolish they sound. Or they try to be, right, they down. That's how Peter just looked. Like, come on, man. They say he cussed and started to swear. I know not the man. And immediately, that last denying, what Jesus told him was going to happen. How many of us, Jesus told us something was going to happen if you got into that marriage? Something's going to happen if you go get that loan from the bank. Something's going to happen if you get in a car with those individuals. Something's going to happen if you stop listening to me and try to do your own thing. Something's going to happen. Hallelujah. At that moment, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. And I can imagine Jesus sitting here with me telling me something. I say, Lord, no, I love you. I'm ride this thing out with you. I'll never deny you. And when it happens, there's something about Peter's spirit had to be crushed. He had to weep and hurt. Conviction had to beat him down for a minute. This would have been devastating for Peter to hear, especially coming directly from Jesus. The traitorous actions of Judas would be the worst of all. To actively work to harm his master, that? On the other extreme, to fall away implies running and hiding when Jesus was in danger. To deny his relationship to Christ suggests a level of cowardice and unfaithfulness Peter simply could not imagine of himself. He had never known Jesus to be wrong, but Peter would not accept this statement. He would not accept it. He never knew Jesus to be wrong. But how come now you think he's wrong when it portrays to us? If God said that's not your husband, God, you've been right on, but you're wrong about this. If that's not your wife, Lord, the Lord tell the man or woman of God, the shepherd, whoever God uses to tell us That is not your wife. That is not your husband. Don't buy that house now. Don't go live in that community. Don't go back to live with your brothers and sisters. Don't buy that car now. Don't quit your job now. Don't start no business now. Now, he has been right about everything else he's ever told us. Every statement he's ever made, he's been right. Every time he came in the spirit, every time he came in your dreams, every time he sent someone your way, every time the song came on, whatever, however he speak to us, every time he came our way, he was right. Oh, ain't it amazing how what we want, what we want. We'll deny anything and anybody, even Jesus. Oh, I got to have that one. Look how he stands. He looks like a statue, a Greek god. And he got 4 Cadillacs, 6 buildings, and $14 billion in the bank. Oh, Jesus going to forgive me for this one. The devil's a liar, because if God say no, believe me, there's going to be a lot of $14 million worth of disaster coming your way with them 4 Cadillacs. And that Greek goddess that you think he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the Lord talks to us and he tells us whatever he may tell us, it is not for us to contemplate it. It is not for us to try to think it over. Does Jesus really know what he's talking about? That don't sound like God. Maybe it's the devil. Why? Because it's not pleasing to the way we want it to be. It's not what we wanted to hear. It's not what we wanted to hear from Jesus. Mm-mm. Jesus is not wrong. Jesus is the Lord of the truth. He is the King of kings. He is not a man that he should lie. Our Father, our God, our King. I try to get an understanding of what that verse means, and it's deep, because here's a guy who walked with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He's seen Jesus perform miracle after miracle, and Jesus knew that he was not a coward. Jesus also knew that he wasn't ready for what was coming down the pike across 110th Street. That was just across 110th Street. You don't know what you'll do under pressure. Oh, but when it comes to across 110th Street, we will be tested. Are we ready? Are we even preparing for when Jesus say no? Are we preparing when Jesus say, I want you to go back to the hood and minister under the bridge? I don't want you in that big, beautiful church this season. I want you under the bridge in this season. I want you to minister on that corner. I want you to hang flyers out on that corner. I want you to give out food on that corner. I want you to pray and lay hands on people on that corner. I want you to testify the goodness of the Lord on that corner. You might not see your 6-bedroom house for 2 to 7 months. I need you to do what I ask of you. Are we ready? Because, see, in this season, we don't have to come out of our comfortability. We're going to have to come out of our comfortability. We're going to have to. People are waiting on us. People are still dying. And I'm not talking about from COVID. I'm not talking about from fires. I'm not talking about from disasters, nature disasters. I'm talking about they're dying in the spirit, because they do not know the goodness of the Lord. They do not know the power of the Lord. They do not know the love of Christ's job. It is our job to get out, no matter where God tells us, no matter where God sends us. Husbands, wives, singles, evangelists, deaconess, nurses, greeters. We have to allow Jesus to restore us. Amen. We'll be right back.
I believe in my spirit that not only is God restoring things to you, but he's restoring you back to where you belong.
Oh, hallelujah.
Can you just lift your hand in the atmosphere and shout, I've been restored. Shout it again, I've been restored.
Put you back, back where And we ought to be giving Jesus a hand clap of praise for that restoration song. Oh, to put us back where we belong. See, some of us think we belong where we want to go and where we want to be and do what we want to do. That's not where we belong. We belong where Jesus say be. And we belong with the Most High God. We belong with our Father. We belong as servants. We have to know our rightful place to truly belong. See, we want to belong with the cliques, and we want to belong with the high and mighties and the Joneses. I belong to Jesus. Please understand that. I may not seem like that in your eyesight, and I might not seem like that to you, and you may find fault in me, and you may say, I remember this, and I remember that, and I remember, amen, glory to God. I remember too. That's why I don't do it no more. Glory to God. Did you hear what the woman of God said? You've been restored, and I took it personally. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you. Oh, but when you sit down and think what he restored you from, be it mentally, physically, however, only Jesus can restore us to a place where we find peace and joy and understanding in him. Because I got to continue what I wanted to say, because thank you, Lord. Peter's, oh God, Peter's denial of Christ is one of the most well-known failures of all time. From his bold declaration that he would never deny Christ to his bitter denunciation, I don't know the man. The good news is that Peter was forgiven and restored by Jesus. You hear me? Peter was restored and forgiven by Jesus. And once Peter had been restored, listen here, he went and preached a sermon to every people who crucified Jesus. You tell me that ain't a mighty move. Yes, it hurt. Yes, he was broken. But his tears, when he cried, when he broke, and he cried, that was his repentance. He knew what he had done. He knew who he had done it to. How many of us can say when we denied Christ that it bothered us that way? See, a lot of us got to remember, we've been in Peter's position too. A lot of us has denied Christ too. Hallelujah. He went and preached a sermon to the very people who had crucified Jesus. And on that day, 1,000 people were saved. And that's what it's truly about. Peter failed the Lord miserably, but he failed forward. He failed forward. Peter failed, but he did not allow his failure to destroy his future or define his life. And how did he do that? Because, see, we can learn a lesson from Peter that will help us in our own times of failure. Because guess what? Failure is a reality of life. Some of y'all never failed. I have. So it's a reality in my life. If you are alive and living for the Lord, you will fail along the way. And failure hurts. Yes, it does. We don't like it. That failure does not need to be final. In fact, failure has some great benefits. And if we have the right heart and attitude, failure educates us. Educates us even more in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So be encouraged, my brother. Be encouraged, my sister. And when you are experiencing tough times and your walk with Christ, and know that God is not surprised by your failure, because God does not stop loving us. He does not stop loving us when we fail.
Rather, he wants to make us better, stronger through our failures. He makes it possible for us to fail forward. Hallelujah. Go with me with this last scripture, and we're going to close. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I just love you, Lord. I just know that you love me back. I just know that you love me back. I know that you love me back. Ah, yes, God, I know that you love me back. Thank you, Jesus. I know that you love me back. Hallelujah. According to Hebrews 12:15, there is only one failure we need to fear. Amen. There's only one. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Be careful that no one fails to receive the grace of God. Because when you and I fail, we need to repent and confess our failure. Then we see the amazing grace of God and be restored. The song say, we have been restored. Then go and let God's grace flow through us to others. This has been your Fix It Six, and I've been your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. I hope all was blessed on this evening. I hope and pray that the word went forth and it did what it was called and intended to do. I just want to thank all our listeners, all our people that's been following us, and all our supporters in East Africa, West Africa, North Africa, Brazil, India, the United States, the United Kingdom, wherever you may be. We love you with the Lord, the love of the Lord, and we thank God for you. I've always and always, I'd like to thank First Lady, who does so much, not only for MCI Ministry Radio, not only for MCI Ministry Church, but for my personality and for my well-being and for my spiritual growth. Amen. Because not only is she my wife, she's also my shepherd. Yes, my wife is my shepherd. Doesn't make me any less of a man. And I'm proud to have her for a shepherd, and I'm proud that God allowed it to be the way he called it to be. But I am the head of my household because I serve God first. But she is still my shepherd, and I love her with the love of the Lord and infinity. And infinity on top of infinity's infinity. I love my wife, Pastor Apostle Carolyn McNeil. For those who haven't heard me say it, I'm saying it on tonight. And with that being said, I just want to pray as our Father God, we thank you for what you've already done. We thank you for your presence here in this studio. We thank you for your word. We hope that your word move forth in our life. We pray that your word is written on our hearts, God. Never, never to fail, God, never to fall short of loving you and serving you. Never allow us to fall short in doing what you have called us to do. Let our failures push us forward, God, in the name of Jesus. Let our failures push us forward in you, for you, and through you, God. We love you. Bless our children. Bless our grandchildren. Bless every ministry. Bless everyone who's about to throw in the towel. Not today. In Jesus' name, you shall remain saved, and you shall remain movers and doers of the kingdom of God. Bless all our friends. Bless every pastor, deacon, nurse, every way maker, everybody. Listen, bless the enemies of the world, God, but we praise you and love you because we know that we belong to the Most High God, and we know that without you, so we thank you for loving on us. We praise you and we glorify. And when I say woo-hoo, that means thanks, you Lord. That's just my personal way of saying I love Jesus. Woo. In Jesus' name, I pray this prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. With that being said, amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Yes, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh, Lord, unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love before for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet.
piercing your side. Could barely breathe, could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you pay. I never knew of a love so true.
You gave your life and still I hurt you. Lost so many times to supply you again.
But I repent, forgive me for my sins.
You played it all up on the cross. You bled and died, cause I was lost. So here I am, surrendering all. Lord, hear my cry, on my knees I fall. You paid it all. Oh, oh, you paid it all. Oh, in exchange for the blood you shed for my sins.
Blessed, and remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.